Hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out the podcast. We greatly appreciate your support. But before we get started, I wanted to tell you about a success story. I wanted to tell you about my friend Carl up in New Boston, Michigan. He listens to our pods every week, and he heard me talking about how I might be able to help him out. So he hit me up over at savewithconrad.com. He just closed last month, and he left us a 5-star review, and he had this to say. Not only did we save over $100,000 on our mortgage by removing several years off of it, he also saved us a few months of payments. In follow-up, Conrad and Steve are super helpful when I had additional questions. You can't go wrong here with Save with Conrad. Definitely worth a call to understand what your savings could be. Take Carl's word for it. He saved more than $100,000. What have you got to lose? Be like Carl. Go to savewithconrad.com right now and find out how much money you can save for free. You don't need perfect credit. You don't need money out of your pocket. And if we can't help you save some cash, we won't waste your time. But because we're licensed in more than 40 states, we can help more families than ever before. Why not you? Why not now? Go to savewithconrad.com and find out how much money you can save for free. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. Oh, and did I mention no house payments for 2 months? Get a quick quote right now. You'll thank me later, and you'll be glad you did. Savewithconrad.com.
Well, he won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck. He's a real athlete, so give him your respect. He's got intensity, integrity, intelligence too. Oh, it's true, it's damn true. So if he ever finds you and you're chanting you suck, then he'll douse you in dairy with his big milk truck. And with one able slam, he'll lay you out on the floor. So listen up, it's time to go.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle, and welcome to the Kurt Angle Show. On today's episode, we'll be discussing my 10-year anniversary of my main event match against Bobby Roode at Bound for Glory pay-per-view 2011 and all the events leading up to it. But first, let me introduce to you my co-host, Paul Bromwell. How you doing today, Paul?
Kurt, I'm doing well. It's great to see you again. Very excited to be part of the Kurt Angle Show and talk about this big time event 10 years ago already.
And your TNA anniversary.
Can you believe it?
No, I can't believe it. It goes by so quickly.
Well, listen, I know for those of us that listen to the show, we've heard you and Conrad talk about your debut for TNA. It's in the archive. So if you haven't listened, make sure you go back and listen. But man, it's the anniversary, the 16th of this month, October. And like you said, it features you and Bobby Roode in the main event. So with that, are we ready to set the stage and kind of talk about the build of that big match?
Yes, it was a big match, and I'm ready to go, man.
All right, let's do this. So let's start the recap. We're going to pick it up in September of 2011 that year. It's No Surrender. You're at the Impact Zone. You defeated Mr. Anderson and Sting in the main event to retain your TNA world title. But also at No Surrender, the Bound for Glory series comes to an end, and Bobby Roode defeats Bully Ray to earn the shot at you, Kurt. This is Bobby Roode's first main event in TNA at a pay-per-view. How do you feel about Bobby Roode at this time?
Well, when you first meet Bobby Roode, you know he's going to be a huge star. He has a great look. He can talk. You know, his mic skills are incredible. His in-ring ability is unbelievable. I never feared that he would be a tag team wrestler at first, especially with James Storm. They had no chemistry. You know, but James Storm was a beer drinker. Bobby Roode was a money guy. But they made it work, and they made their name Beer Money.
Yes. You know,
so they actually made it work. And those two guys were going to be single wrestlers from day one. I knew that, and they were going to have a lot of success, and especially Bobby Roode.
It's interesting that you said that. I always thought the same thing. You know, you had Bobby Roode kind of in the form of a ravishing Rick Roode, Mr. Perfect style wrestler. And then, like you said, you had the beer swilling redneck coming in. But you're right. They made it work. They had a play on the name Beer Money and brought it all together. But again, we would see them find some individual success. And here we go. Bobby Roode would start with this main event push. So from the Observer, we're going to start off with some of the background here. Nearly 6 months back, TNA made the basic plans for the Bound for Glory pay-per-view. Sting was going to beat Hulk Hogan to give Dixie Carter back control of the company. Hogan was then going to turn face and become the old Hulk Hogan and feud with Eric Bischoff. Bobby Roode was going to win the Bound for Glory series tournament and give him some momentum and then beat you to win the TNA heavyweight title. Was this the original plan, as Meltzer talks about, going into the show? Were you expected to drop the title to Bobby, Kurt?
Yes, I was expected to drop the title to Bobby. They were doing all these vignettes with Bobby and his family, you know, talking about how hard of a worker he was, what a great family man he was. And it was all set up to drop the title to him. And I don't know what happened. It wasn't me. I'm going to be the first one to admit I did not ask to keep the title. As a matter of fact, I was severely injured. I had a torn hamstring, not a pulled hamstring, torn. It was almost torn all the way in half. My whole leg was black all the way down to the heel of my foot. And I didn't even know if I could wrestle at Bound for Glory. And for them to say, hey, you're going to, they didn't tell me until the day of the show at Bound for Glory that I was going to retain the title. And I was a little pissed off because I didn't want to carry the title any longer because of my injury. I wanted to rest it up and heal up and come back in perfect form. And unfortunately, they decided against Bobby getting the title, which was kind of a downer for the pay-per-view, Bound for Glory, especially us being on last. It was a real flat finish. How do you banish high rates on car insurance? You switch to Geico during Geico Ween. Bruh, I love making that sound. Let me do it again. Bruh, October is Geico's favorite time of year. And Geico has been working even harder to cast out high rates on car insurance and craft just the right coverage for you and your family. But here's the thing you may not know about Geico. They could also help you uncover more savings when you bundle the other things parked in your driveway, like your beloved motorcycle, boat, or even home away from home, your RV. Geico could even help you save on homeowners and renters insurance. So visit geico.com today and you'll see firsthand that switching your insurance coverage doesn't have to be scary. The only thing that will haunt your nightmares is seeing just how much you could have saved if you switched sooner. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Happy Geico-ing.
You're absolutely right, Kurt. This week I went back and watched the pay-per-view, and the build, it kind of reminded me back in the day when they were building Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart for the first time, and they showed all the training videos and running up and down the stairs and the workout. They were doing all that, the family vignettes, Bobby Roode, his hard work and his passion. So it felt like, oh, this is going to be his big moment. And then you're right, for whatever reason, we're going to talk about that. Creative decided to go in a different direction.
That taken away from him.
Yeah. So we're coming off of No Surrender, and Warrior opens in theaters, which you're a part of. You played the role of the great Koba. What was filming that movie like, and how excited were you for it to open?
Well, getting the role of Koba was awesome. I was so excited about it, especially working with guys like Tom Hardy, Nick Nolte, Joel Edgerton, Frank Grillo. The director was Gavin O'Connor, one of the best directors in the business. I had a lot of fun doing it. It was a lot of hard work, though. We had a lot of fight scenes, and we continued to do it day in and day out. Some guys got injured, and we'd have to fight with their stunt doubles. And, you know, it got the movie actually almost got shut down because they went over their budget because of everybody getting injured and stuff like that. We just had to keep filming, and it just came, you know, went over budget. But the movie was excellent. It was up for two Academy Awards, best movie and best supporting actor, Nick Nolte. It was a sleeper, a really good storyline, very underrated, but it did pretty well in theaters.
Well, Kurt, and most of it, and I was looking it up a little bit here, shot in Pittsburgh and Atlantic City.
Okay. Yeah, I did all my stuff in Pittsburgh. I was, you know, literally 20 minutes from my house. I had to go down there and film at the Peterson Center at Pitt, University of Pitt, and come home every night. It was great.
So that's convenient for you. And if you guys want to throw it in your Google machine, as Conrad would say, do me a favor, type in The Great Koba. And the first thing that pops up is a YouTube video titled The Best Fight Scene Ever. Warrior 2011 Koba fight. It's your fight, Kurt, and someone has it out there on YouTube. It's called The Best Fight Scene Ever, and they'll get a feel for what it was like for that intense fight scene that you had there.
So it was pretty intense, yes.
All right. So you're filming that. Do you think TNA, by the way, is promoting you being in the movie to the best of their ability? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was happy. They did what they could. They promoted it every week on TV at the pay-per-views, you know, on their website. It was, you know, they didn't put out any commercials on network TV or anything, but they did promote it as much as they could. And I was happy about that.
Okay. Well, the Observer would go on to say, in promoting Warrior, Angle said he just signed a new 3-year deal with TNA. He said he did so because they gave him the scheduling break to pursue acting, while WWE would never give him the schedule break when a movie role came up for him. Can you tell us about your negotiations for the 3-year deal with TNA, Kurt? Was it the same deal as your 5-year deal in terms of money, dates, etc.? Or, you know,
actually, they gave me a better deal.
Okay.
Which I was ultimately surprised about. They gave me more money, less dates, and they gave me time to do movies. I actually did a few more movies after that, and I was really happy about that. But I could have signed a longer deal, 5 years, but I didn't know how I would feel after 3 years. You know, considering the way I felt in WWE when I wasn't very happy, I didn't really want to be stuck for 5 full years in a company that I didn't feel right about. But I did spend the first 5 years of my contract with that company, and then I signed another 3-year deal. Thing is, I signed another 3-year deal after that, so I ended up in TNA for 11 years. So I probably should have signed a second contract for 5 years.
Guys, great news. I don't know if you heard, but Fannie Mae just increased their loan limit for 2021. For years and years, it was like $417,000. Last year, it was $510,000. This year, it's like $548,000. Next year, they've announced it's $625,000. Now, what does that mean? It means all of a sudden, real estate has become more expensive than ever. But you don't want to get stuck in a jumbo loan. You want the best rates possible. You want the best service possible. You want the best terms possible. And Fannie Mae is allowing that to happen now, up to $625,000. And with rates as low as they are right now, man, there has never been a better time to take a look at this. If you've been thinking about making that next move up, now's the time. And here's a little pro tip. I've got an investor who will take those new loan limits right now. Yes, in 2021. I know it's the 2022 loan limit, but we can do them right now. I also want to mention, if you're in a 30-year loan or you have a second mortgage, maybe this is the time to combine all your other credit card debt and get rid of that second mortgage just like that. Take advantage of these new loan limits. There's a member of our ad-free show family here who's been trying to figure this out for a while, and this new loan limit, boy, it came in just the perfect time. They're going to save a boatload of cash. We ran the numbers the other day. It's nearly $100,000 in interest saved. Did you hear me? Nearly $100,000. And oh, by the way, did I mention they're going from a 30-year to a 15-year and doing it with cheaper monthly payments? It sounds too good to be true, but this is real. We can do it for you right now. Find out how much money you can save for free, whether you're looking to buy or refi. Don't forget savewithconrad.com. It's no cost, no obligation, and if we can't help you save some cash, we won't waste your time. That's savewithconrad.com. NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Oh, and did I mention no house payments for 2 months? That's right. No house payments until next year. And listen, I know what some of you are thinking. Man, this is too good to be true. This has got to be a scam. Dude, go check the reviews for yourself over at conradreviews.com. You're going to see hundreds of them. In fact, nearly 600 of them. And our average rating, 4.7 stars. And what's the common theme? Great service. We're going to take great care of you. Let my family take care of your family at savewithconrad.com. That's savewithconrad.com. You'll be glad you did.
But it all worked out. Like you said, that 3-year deal ended up being for more money. And you got the flexibility that you wanted, right?
Yes, I got the flexibility. I had all the time in the world that I needed off.
Did you or your team at any point here have any discussion with WWE at this time?
No discussions. I didn't want to go back yet. I never thought about it. Not at that particular time. I knew I wanted to stay in TNA.
Okay. So clear cut decision for you, Kurt, at this point. Happy with TNA. First 5 years went very smoothly. They're giving you the flexibility you want. The money's good. No reason for you to really consider WWE at this point.
No, not at all.
There we go. You heard it from Kurt Angle. After spending 5 years in TNA, did you think this 3-year deal would be your last contract? Or did you think it was the best deal you could get from them at this point?
Well, I could have gotten a better deal as far as longer deal. But, you know, I was happy with the 3-year deal. It wasn't the only option for me, but I felt it was the best at that particular time just to go 3 years.
Well, Kurt, at this point, you are the top wrestler in TNA. I say that because there's some odd creative here going on. Hogan and Sting are seemingly being pushed above you because of their longtime star stature, but you're carrying the in-ring product heavily. You're in the main event. Were you getting the feeling that this was all about their star power at this point?
Well, you know, that's a tough question because, you know, we are the workhorses, you know, myself and Bobby Roode, guys like us, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. But Hulk Hogan and Sting are two of the biggest names in the history of the business. You want them on your team. You want them in your company. All they're going to do is help promote the company. They're going to draw ratings. They're going to draw money. You know, so it doesn't matter how old they get. People still want to see them. And Sting was still going pretty hard at that particular time. And Hulk Hogan wasn't doing too bad as well. So I wasn't upset about that. I did understand, but you're right. We are the workhorses. We deserved more of the attention, but you know, understandably, they got more of the attention.
Well, so here we go. We're going to start the push for you versus Roode. You announced that Roode would have to battle in another series. This time, the series is Roode against all the members of Fortune, and it starts with AJ Styles. The gimmick is that if Roode loses to any of them, they get his shot at you instead. Roode defeats Styles clean in the main event with the crossface submission and then cuts a promo afterwards that he's going to beat you and win the title. And on an episode of Impact to continue the build for you, Roode and James Storm have an in-ring segment which ends with Storm putting a beer bottle in his crotch and he tells you to, well, we're gonna play the clip here. Here we go.
Yeah, play the clip.
And I was sitting back there and I heard you say that you got all the stroke going around here. Well, I got an idea. Won't you get on your knees and stroke my beer bottle right here, boy? Because I hope you're a better matchmaker than you are beer drinker. That's for damn sure. Because let me tell you something, Kurt Angle. I can see it in your eyes. Hey, let me help you out. This is a match you should make. The Olympic 1996 gold medalist Kurt Angle. Against the little old beer drinker from Leapers Fort, Tennessee, the cowboy, James Storm. And I ain't talking about next week or next afternoon or hell after the bar. I'm talking about tonight.
You think you're going to show me up, Storm? Is that what you think? Is that what you think? You think you're going to show me up? I'm an Olympic gold medalist. I'm the world heavyweight champion. You got to be out of your freaking mind.
I'm not out here to try to show you up. I'm going to earn your damn respect one way or another because I helped build this damn company. It's time for guys like me and Bobby Roode to get our justice. So, I know you always like a good challenge, so go put your stuff on and I'll see you later on tonight. Oh yeah, one more thing, Kurt. Sorry about your damn luck.
All right, you know what time it is. It's time to talk about our bud, Steven Singer. Now, not everybody knows this, but Steven actually started out as a jewelry and diamond wholesaler. That's right. Singer sold nationally to other jewelry stores. So why in the world would Steven open his own store? Well, he saw that other jewelers were focusing on the wrong things. You see, the jewelry business has always been about playing pricing games just to make a buck. But Steven wanted to help people celebrate love with diamonds. He never wanted to be in the jewelry business. You heard right. He's in the love business. Steven Singer Jewelers is the love store. No, not that kind. No sex toys or jelly. We're talking about the place to buy real diamond jewelry for your real love. Steven has been in the love business for over 4 decades because he knew he could deliver better quality jewelry at a much better price and treat people like friends, not paychecks. There's no gotchas, no sales, no hassle, just easy and fun. The smartest way to buy jewelry and diamonds for the moments that matter most is real diamonds from a real jeweler you can trust. So call, chat, text, Zoom, visit a showroom, or online at IHateStevenSinger.com.
There it is, and you guys would tear it down in this match here on Impact. Meltzer gives the match a 3.75 stars. It goes 11 minutes. Listen, if you haven't seen the match, go out of your way, get the Impact app, check it out. It's a tremendous match. Was this your first opportunity working with James one-on-one?
Yes, it was my first singles match with James, and I absolutely loved it. I knew the kid was really talented. I knew that he could pull it off. And we had an incredible match. I was so excited about that match. You know, James and Bobby Roode, those guys were always in the back of my mind that they were going to end up being main eventers in TNA and other companies, wherever they went. They were that good. I just knew that.
I'm going to ask you a question here, and it's about Bobby Roode. He's ended up in NXT. He's now in WWE. Once you saw him make the jump to NXT and you knew he was a part of WWE, did you think, my goodness, finally, this guy is most likely going to be elevated at some point to a main event status? He just has what it takes.
Oh, yeah. He had everything it took. I mean, you know, it's from looks to in-ring ability to promo skills to, you know, relating to a character that he wanted to do. Bobby was one of the best. I knew that he had a lot of promise and that he was going to have a lot of success anywhere he went. WWE, TNA, AEW, it wouldn't have mattered. Bobby Roode was going to be successful.
He achieved it in NXT, winning the NXT title, but he hit the main roster and things just haven't kind of worked out in terms of him, you know, taking that next step. And I think a lot of fans would have loved to kind of see some of that out of him there, maybe get more.
I think that, you know, the company is so wrapped up in making sure they're producing their stars. And, you know, sometimes they overlook other guys and it's unfortunate, but eventually Bobby will get his chance. I know he's gotten a lot of chances that didn't last very long, but I think that he will eventually get his chance and he will be WWE champion eventually.
Wow. Let's certainly hope so. I like it. All right. I'm going to put you on the spot again here, Kirk. Coming out of this match, do you think Storm or Roode was a better opponent for you?
Oh, jeez. Well, the thing with James Storm, I wrestled him healthy. And, you know, we had an incredible match. I thought it was a 4-star match. But Bobby Roode at Bound for Glory, I was injured. I was injured pretty badly. But I am going to say that Bobby was a little bit better of a ring technician than James. James is more of a brawler. Bobby was more of a technician. So I would choose Bobby over James, but it's very, very close.
And it just really comes down to a difference in style, to your
point.
It is
a different style. Exactly. You're exactly right.
All right. There you go. You're doing good so far. I put you on the spot twice, and you're passing with flying colors. Scott Steiner is put together with you as your trainer for Bound for Glory. What did you think of doing these promos with Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner, and how much fun was he?
He was awesome. You know, the great thing about Scott is he shows up for work and he works hard. He's there on time for pre-tapes, for his matches. He never misses. He's always ready to go. The cool thing was, you know, training me, he was just so entertaining. You didn't know what's going to come out of his mouth from one sentence to the other.
You still don't, really.
No. He's just, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? He's unpredictable.
Unpredictable. There you go.
He really is. He is hilarious. Some of the shit he comes up with is just out of this world.
And it has you kind of looking around at each other like, what did he just say?
And the crazy thing is, if you think about it extra long, it actually makes sense.
Well, and now look at his bloodline. His nephew, Bron Breakker, is in the NXT. I don't know if you've gotten to see or hear anything about him, but it's Rick's kid. And my goodness, he's setting the world on fire for NXT. But he looks just like the third, you know, Steiner brother. But it's Rick's son, Scott's nephew. My goodness.
In the blood.
It is. That's Steiner blood, man. So he's doing his thing.
They're badasses.
They are. They are badasses. We've heard the behind-the-scenes stories, guys. You don't want to mess with them either. So there you go. Scott Steiner, he's helping out Kurt here. And it's important to note here that Bound for Glory is not scheduled for the Impact Zone. No. We're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at the Lea Corps Center, which, oh, by the way, both AEW Dynamite and Rampage were in that building recently. How big is it, Kurt, to finally get out of the Impact Zone for you and the company?
Well, it was a sign that the company was growing and that we were starting to make more money, drawing more ratings. It was a great sign for us to know that the company keeps expanding. And the bigger we got, the better we would do. And to be able to leave the Impact Zone and eventually wrestle in other arenas was the one goal that we had in mind that we wanted to accomplish.
I got to tell you, Kurt, as a fan watching it on TV this week, it had the arena feel and it felt like a pay-per-view show, whereas you were just conditioned to watching everything at the Impact Zone every week.
That yeah, studio got feel. Old.
So got I can't agree with you more. It felt like a real wrestling pay-per-view. From the studio and the production. So that's a big deal. So we're in Knoxville at the next set of tapings. Bobby Roode pins James Storm after you interfere when Roode is down and doesn't know about it. Was there ever a plan that you know of for the three of you to work a program all together?
There was no plan for us to work all together. At least nobody told me that. I know that the issue or the plan was for me to drop the title to Bobby Roode and for Bobby Roode and James Storm to start a program together. So there was no program of me, Bobby Roode, and James Storm. It was more of me dropping the title to Roode and then him and James Storm having a program together eventually.
Okay. Well, Kurt, in the go-home segment for the pay-per-view from The Observer, once again, Angle said that win or lose, he's going to shake Roode's hand after the match. And if he loses, he'll step aside. He went to shake Roode's hand. Roode refused. Roode said that Angle is the best wrestler in the world, but he's got more heart than Angle and was going to win the championship. Roode said he wants to find out who the best wrestler is and doesn't want Fortune or Immortal to be at ringside. Angle agreed to those stipulations and left, but then told Roode he had one more test and would be facing Gunner and Jeff Jarrett in a handicap match on the show. Did you think Roode was ready?
Oh, yeah, I knew Bobby Roode was ready. He was ready from the day he started in TNA. The guy just has so much ability, and the talent that he possesses is unparalleled. Very few people have the talent that Bobby Roode has. So I knew he was ready and primed for this.
Well, I was going to ask you a follow-up question here about, you know, when do you find out the plan as far as who's going over? And you told us earlier you didn't find out until the day of that things had changed. Right.
Yeah, they didn't say anything till the day of the pay-per-view. I thought I was dropping the title. I was happy to do it because Bobby Roode was going to have a big future in the company and I was going to heal my injury. But unfortunately, it changed the day of the show.
Well, Roode would get the win in the handicap match, and it's all eyes on Philadelphia and Bound for Glory. We've set the stage, but there's a controversy before the pay-per-view. And there's some comments that you and Dana White have back and forth in the media about you and the UFC and Kimbo Slice. What was the nature of your 2009 negotiations with the UFC? And were there ever any plans on having you on the Ultimate Fighter against Kimbo or anyone else? And did you go through testing for it at all?
Okay, let me clear the air on this. What happened was after I met with Dana White, and we talked out the deal that we were going to do and the money and everything like that. I got interviewed and I told the interviewer that I was going to have a fight with Kimbo Slice at a pay-per-view, a UFC pay-per-view. I was wrong. That wasn't the message I wanted to portray. I don't know why I said it. What it was is Kimbo and I were going to be on Ultimate Fighter as contestants. Two of the eight fighters, him and I would be. And I told Dana, well, you don't get paid to be on the show. I need to get paid. And he actually offered me a substantial amount of money to be on Ultimate Fighter. So I decided, you know, let me think about it, Dana. Thing is, when I did the interview, I got mixed up and I just thought of Kimbo and said, you know, him and I were going to fight this pay-per-view, which we probably would have. But at that particular time, it wasn't set in stone. So Dana was right to call my bluff. I did do testing. I don't know if I passed or not, or the physical. I don't know what occurred there, but I was wrong about my comments, and Dana White was right.
Okay.
Are you tired a lot? Frustrated that no matter what you do, you can't seem to keep your energy levels up during the day? The problem may be that you're not getting enough quality sleep. If you want to increase energy, performance, alertness, and productivity, stop reaching for the energy drinks and focus on quality REM sleep with Recovery PM. Poor quality sleep is directly linked to health problems like obesity, low testosterone levels, and high blood pressure. Not to mention that if you work out, your gains are being significantly reduced if you're not sleeping well. Most over-the-counter sleep aids are just melatonin. Recovery PM is a blend of 9 proven natural sleep aids and tranquilizers, including melatonin, 5-HTP, GABA, and tryptophan. Yes, that's the stuff in turkey that makes you tired. So you know you're going to experience deep sleep and wake up refreshed and ready to attack the day. If you're finding yourself hitting a midday slump and using energy drinks to perk up during the day, you're only making things worse in the long run. Upgrade to Recovery PM for 30 days and you'll be amazed how you feel. Recovery PM is available now at recoverypm.com. And if you use our code ANGLE, you'll get 10% off your entire order. It's part of the Legacy Sports Nutrition line of products developed and used by a team of professionals, including our friends Nick Aldis and Mickey James. All Legacy products are made at an FDA-approved facility and ship worldwide. Try their full range of products now at LegacySups.com. But if you're ready to get that REM sleep, man, you got to go to Recovery PM at RecoveryPM.com and use promo code ANGLE to save 10% off your entire order at RecoveryPM.com.
Kurt, how are you feeling here? We're going to talk about the hamstring, but how overall are you feeling in 2011? I'm watching you at Bound for Glory. Outside of the hamstring, are you feeling good clarity-wise? Are you doing, still struggling at all with the painkillers at this point or anything? I was rattling my brain to try to think of the timeline. How are you feeling in 2011?
I was heavy into alcohol at that particular time. Not the painkillers. Painkillers were pretty much a done deal for me. So I switched to alcohol and would only drink it at night. And, it was a trying time for me. You know, that's the one of the main reasons I ended up going to rehab in 2013. And it was something that, you know, I knew that I had a problem, switching from painkillers to alcohol, that, you know, that's what addicts do. And, it was no excuse for me to do that, but you know, that you make a choice and you have to live with it. And, I really ruined my reputation, big time, especially getting 4 DUIs in 5 years, which was unreal. I was very careless, didn't really think much, made poor decisions, and I had to live with that. And the movies we were talking about earlier, they stopped calling. I've spent the last 8 years trying to, you know, earn back the respect of other people and society, because, I did make a lot of mistakes, and, but I've been clean and sober for 8.5 years and I've been doing pretty well. So at that particular time, I wasn't doing so well, but I wasn't either in WWE.
Yeah. I was watching the card and, I was just looking at you and you looked leaner. You were very lean around 2011.
That's because I just did the Warrior movie.
Yes. Right. So you
I had to lose 30 pounds for that.
Now, if you're still, and you're also at this point doing the movie and, you know, you're having your struggles with alcohol, did that impact you at all, you think, making that movie? Going back?
No, I stayed sober during the day. I filmed, I'd only drink when I got home. So, it wasn't an issue as far as the movie is concerned, no. But the crazy thing is, when I would drink on the road, I would drink while I was driving, which was stupid. I mean, that's the dumbest thing in the world you can do, not just for yourself, but you're going to end up killing other people.
Right.
And it was just dumb decisions that I made. And, the drug took over and there was nothing I could do about it. And that's why I ended up going to rehab.
Sure. Well, let's get into the hamstring. You talked about the hamstring. How did you injure the hamstring? When does it occur? And you talked about how bad it was. So talk us through that injury.
I don't remember what match it was. I do believe it was about 2 weeks before Bound for Glory. And I tore it, and I knew right away it was bad. My leg ended up going limp, and the swelling, the blood rushed down there, and it just got so swelled up, and my whole leg got black. It was just black and blue all the way down my leg. The blood just ran all the way down my leg into my foot. And it was just a really bad injury. And I had to deal with that. And it was really tough to wrestle at Bound for Glory with that torn hamstring. I don't know how I did it.
Well, Dave Meltzer would say that he couldn't even do an autograph session the day before the show. Several who saw him before the match noted to us that they couldn't believe, based on how badly he was moving and how hurt he was, that he could even do a match. Of course, it's Kurt Angle. He's a machine. And when he got in the ring, while he wasn't the best Kurt Angle, they were having a very good match. Really the best on the show until, again, from the Observer, the finish killed it. So let's get into the match and discuss it, and then we'll talk about the fallout.
Crazy thing is, if Bobby Roode would have went over,
the
match would have been 5 stars.
Right.
I mean, it was just a dumb decision on the company's part.
Well, here we go. We're going to talk about it now and the fallout. You're in the main event, but the match before it is Hulk Hogan versus Sting, which ends with the crowds going crazy for Hulk Hogan's babyface turn. How hard was it to follow that, or was it hard at all?
It was difficult.
Okay.
You have somebody turning babyface like Hulk Hogan, who was a heel for so long, and the crowd goes nuts. I mean, you want the crowd to react the same way for you, but it's not going to happen.
All right.
So yeah, the crazy thing is, what I'm trying to say is, I wish they would have went on last because I was injured.
Okay.
Not if I was not injured, I would have kept us on last, but I think they should have been on last because of my injury, because I didn't know how I was going to perform. So that would, not only Hulk Hogan turning babyface was a bad thing for me, but I had the injury as well, which made it double bad. And I just felt that Hulk Hogan and Sting should have went last, but we were the world title match. I understand why. I would have switched it because I was injured.
Right, especially when you find out you're retaining. So have you go as the match before the big Hogan
heel wins? Heel. Yeah, yeah. Hogan right. Turning babyface. You want that at the end?
Everybody goes home happy. There you go. Well, from the Observer, Kurt Angle pinned Bobby Roode in 14 minutes 18 seconds to retain the TNA title. They were loudly chanting for Roode when he came out. Roode kept going for the crossface over and over, but Angle would make the ropes or get out. Angle's right hamstring was all taped up. Angle used 3 German suplexes for a near fall. Angle would then go to the top, and Roode gave him a German suplex, and Angle landed almost on the side of his head and shoulder, and you would get the impression he could have been hurt bad from that move. Roode came back with a series of clotheslines and a blockbuster for a near fall. Angle used a belly-to-belly and DDT'd Roode on the top of his head for another near fall. Roode used the spinebuster for a near fall. Back and forth here, Kurt. Angle did a top row belly-to-belly suplex for a near fall. Roode put the crossface on in the middle. Again, you can barely walk at this point. This is insane. The move wasn't as over to the crowd as it should have been. Angle reversed into the ankle lock. There was a Bobby chant. Roode reversed back into the crossface in the middle, but Angle escaped. Angle tried a clothesline. Roode ducked out of it, back into the crossface. Angle rolled out right into the Olympic slam. Angle with the ankle lock, but Roode escaped again. Roode hit the fisherman suplex for a near fall. The crowd started the dueling chant, so they're going back and forth. They want Angle. They want Roode. Hell of a match here. Angle put on the ankle lock. Roode would cradle you for a near fall. And then you would go for the Olympic slam, but Roode arm dragged you out of it. With referee Brian Hebner distracted, you used the low blow and an Olympic slam for a near fall. And you did 2 more German suplexes, but Roode once again reversed into a crossface. You made the ropes again, used a spear for the near fall, went to the top. You jumped off the top rope, landed on both feet, which is insane for a guy with a bad hamstring and groin. Rude puts you back in the crossface, but then there was another series of reversals. You hit the Olympic slam. Rude got his hand under the rope while Angle was holding on to the rope. Hebner counted three. And Dave Meltzer would say, as flat as a finish as you can get. That's it, Kurt.
That sucks because you have a match that good.
Right.
And the finish just completely F's it up, you know?
So how do you gut your way through this, man? You heard me, and I just felt like I talked for a half hour, but you heard me talk about all those move sets and the back and forth. How do you get through this, man?
I'm Kurt freaking Angle.
Yeah, that's the dumbest I'm question kidding. I've ever asked. He had a broken freaking neck and won a gold medal. This is a warrior instinct, man. That. Yeah, this is the warrior instinct, brother.
I've always taken pride in making sure I put on the best work I can, regardless whether I'm injured or not. For me, I would rather wrestle injured than not wrestle injured. In other words, if I knew that I was going to have a crappy match because of my injury, I would still have the match to try to make it better. I just have always been like that. I'm a perfectionist and I want to give the best I can, no matter how I feel.
Well, here we go. We're going to tie the story up. This is straight from the Observer. Hulk Hogan at the last minute came in and decided against Rude winning the title. The original plan was for Rude to win the title and build to a Rude versus James Storm program down the line. But it's mind-boggling the extent the company focused on Rude with the vignettes of the family to have him lose on this show. And you said you already answered the question that you were told the day of. Did you advise against winning because of the injury, or is this just not a thing? Did you say, hey, wait a minute, I can barely walk?
Yeah, I talked to creative and I told them about my injury and that I didn't think it was a good idea. And they said, well, don't worry, because your next match, which I was, that's the reason I didn't want to win, is because I didn't want to have a next match, especially with my injury. And they said, with your next match, it's only going to be 10 seconds. I was like, well, that's kind of stupid. Why don't I just drop the title tonight and have Bobby Roode have his moment? And I think what the reason why they went against that is because they wanted Bobby Roode to have a moment, a world championship moment. And I think they felt that I couldn't have the match I was expected to because of my injury. I think that's why everything changed. Because of my injury, they felt that Bobby Roode wouldn't have the moment that he deserved. So he would be able to earn it against James Storm later on down the line when James Storm beat me the next day for, you know, in 10 seconds with a super kick. And, you know, that's all I had to do in that match, which was the quickest match I've ever been in. I think it might be the quickest match in the history of wrestling. But, yeah, it was, you know, I knew that Bobby Roode should have won that match at the pay-per-view. That's just how I feel.
Well, you explaining it that they wanted Bobby to have his moment at least gives us some kind of explanation as to why.
That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah. Because you're right, at the next Impact taping, you dropped the title in a less than 1 minute match to James Storm because you're hurt. And, you know, I'm sure you did agree with dropping the belt to James Storm or whoever at this point, just so you can heal and rest up, right?
Yes, exactly.
Well, what did you think of the match overall, Kurt? Just in general, the whole scenario, how this all worked out?
The match with James or Bobby? Because the match with James was 5 seconds.
Well, that match will take us 1 second to talk about. But just the overall feeling, this Bound for Glory, the whole thing with Bobby. I mean, did you ever, you know, it sounds like you would have loved to at least just drop the belt to Bobby Roode that night if you had it over to do again.
Yes, but I was really proud of the match we had. I thought it went off. It came off a lot better than I expected it to. I thought it was going to be a disaster. I really did with my injury. I didn't know if I was going to finish the match. So it was a blessing to me to be able to be a part of that and to stay healthy enough to get through that match. That showed me that I had a lot of poise and a lot of ability in myself to overcome injury.
Well, there you go, boys and girls. That's the story of Bound for Glory. Oh, you like what I did there, Ron? 2011. It's the Bobby Roode, Kurt Angle main event match. But we got questions this week, Kurt, and we're going to start with Lopez. And he wants to know, Kurt, going from a four-sided ring to a six-sided, back to a four-sided ring, how much of an adjustment was that for you?
Well, the six-sided ring, things happen a little quicker. It's a smaller ring. It's more closed in. You have more options to hit ropes. And you can get a little confused with it. But I think the six-side, although it's a faster ring, you're going to, you know, when you come off the ropes, you don't have a lot of room before your opponent's right where you are. So you have to think a lot quicker and react a lot quicker. But it wasn't that much of an adjustment. There wasn't much of a difference between a four-sided ring and a six-sided ring to the point where it would affect your work.
What did you prefer?
I prefer the four sides. I like things being a little slower, you know, telling more of a story, you know, the match being a lot more methodical. And, you know, it all depends on how you feel about, you know, do you like high action matches or do you like matches that are methodical? And I like methodical matches.
Do you think TNA needed to have a six-sided ring to be unique or be something different? Or do you think they could have been fine just with four sides the whole time?
I think that would have been fine, but I think it did add a little extra something to it. You know, the six-sided ring was something that they could promote every week. You know, come to the six sides and not the four sides. You know, it was just a good marketing gimmick.
They could sell toys that nobody was selling in wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, six-sided rings, and yeah, without a doubt.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, Wayne Allen Root, the king of Vegas sports gambling and America's odds maker. And by the way, the media is the one who gave me those brand names. 36 years, the best in the business with my own star on the Vegas Walk of Stars with Frank Sinatra, Elvis, and Wayne Newton. Not too shabby. Former odds maker and NFL analyst for CNBC. In those days, it was called Financial News Network. Today, it's called CNBC. And I was the best in the world at what I did on national TV for several years with CNBC. And now I bring all my expertise, winning point spread advice, picking winners, making your money, profitability. It's all about winning on NFL and college football and basketball and baseball and every sport you can name at VegasWinners.com. So far this season, I've started out on fire, 23-8 in the NFL, unheard of, almost 80% winners, 12-1 with the biggest TV games, primetime, Thursday night, Monday night, Sunday night games, and 4-0 with four games of the year in the last 4 weeks. I've now won 13 of my last 15 NFL Sundays, and every record I just quoted you is independently documented and monitored by an independent service, so you know you get honesty and credibility and integrity with every pick from Wayne Allen Root. So go to VegasWinners.com right now. Register. It takes less than a minute to register, and then you're off and running with $1,000 in free coupons. Yes, I'm giving you $1,000 in free winners to start you off at VegasWinners.com. Go check it out. Best sports handicapping site in the world, VegasWinners.com. If I'm not your cup of tea, I went out and found 21 of the greatest sports handicappers in the world, all 21 in a lineup at VegasWinners.com, giving you their best point spread winners every single day, 7 days a week. VegasWinners.com.
Instagram, a wrestling historian, is up next. And these are why we get questions like this. Why didn't Hulk Hogan believe in Robert Roode? That's the question. Because of that.
I think he believed in Bobby Roode. I just think that he didn't want, he wanted Bobby to have his moment in the ring. And I think that he felt that I wasn't up to par to have the five-star match with Bobby Roode that he deserved. So I can't think of any other reason why he'd want to hold back Bobby Roode of winning the world title, especially with how we promoted him up till the pay-per-view. And everything that we did, the vignettes and the storyline, it was all set up for Bobby to take the gold, and it didn't happen.
And to your point earlier, that was the actual plan until the day of.
It was the plan until the day of, and I don't know why it changed.
Okay. Michael McClanahan is up next, and he said, Kurt, what were your thoughts on the Bound for Glory series concept, and do you believe it was successful in creating interest and intrigue around the build for the pay-per-view?
Yes. I mean, you know, you have guys battling for the world championship, and, you know, having a tournament is very intriguing. Tournaments are very marketable for fans. They like to follow the brackets and see who won and see who lost and how your favorite wrestler worked up till the finals. It's an exciting thing to do for the fans. And I think it always works.
Mr. Impact, also known as Craig here, he said, which was your favorite match with Bobby Roode and why? So is there something that sticks out to you? You might not have to necessarily remember the event, but do you remember a specific match with him that you were like, man, we really tore that down?
I had a match with him and James, a tag match. I think it was JJ and I. It was phenomenal. It was a house show, but we went 30 minutes and it was, you know, it was one of the best tag matches I've ever been a part of. Unfortunately, it wasn't on TV or pay-per-view. That did suck, but I wish it would have been.
And that's sometimes what we find, you know. Ric Flair would talk about all his great matches with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and we talk about the trilogy they had in 89, and he was like, man, you should have seen what we did in the 70s on the house show loops. Yeah. Those were some even better matches, and unfortunately,
we'll sometimes they are.
Yeah. Ray LaDuc is up next, and he says, Kurt, did Hogan virtually help Roode's career more by not winning the title? So do you think that he essentially helped Roode's career more by not winning the title?
I don't see how that makes sense. Yeah. No, I think it might have made Roode a little more hungry. It might have also frustrated Bobby. You know, he was expected to win the title, and he got it taken away from him. And Hulk Hogan is the reason. I don't know why that would make Bobby would do Bobby a favor by not winning the title. Maybe to teach him a lesson. I don't know what lesson you're trying to teach him, but I think that Bobby deserved to win the title at Bound for Glory. That was his goal. That's what he deserved.
And to your point, again, you're a vital part of the organization back there. I'm sure you have your thumb on kind of the pulse of what creative is and what they would like to do. And you're hearing nothing of any kind of heat from anyone about Bobby Roode. I mean, he's just a great worker. They're putting the vignettes behind him and it's all systems go with him as a singles competitor at this point.
Oh yeah, exactly. He was ready to go and he was primed, and Bobby deserved to win that title that night.
All right. Well, that's it for the questions this week, Kurt. Next week, coming off of you and Conrad's interview last week with Samoa Joe, it's time to discuss your first pay-per-view match for TNA, and it's against the Machine, Samoa Joe, at Genesis 2006. This is also going to cover
Samoan submission machine.
That's right. The Samoan submission machine. It's also going to cover your debut in front of the Impact Zone. And your start with TNA, the build to you versus Joe. What do you think you're most excited to discuss about this one?
With Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Just our matches.
Yeah.
We had phenomenal matches. They were so physical. Joe's one of the most physical guys I've ever worked with. And for his size, the way he can move, he's quick. He's catty. Very athletic. But he's a brawler, too. He's a technician and a brawler. He's got it all. The kid's incredible. And you know what? He doesn't have the exact perfect look for wrestling, but that's okay. I mean, you know, he's a Samoan dude, and Samoans, you know, that's how they're built. A lot of them, not all of them, but, you know, I think that Joe was going to have a lot of success regardless.
Yeah, no, he is one of the most badass wrestlers in terms of when you think about his presence, his persona, how he carries himself, and then the way he articulates, the fact that he helped write your Hall of Fame speech, and you know, some of that we learned with your episode that you did with him last week, man, just a great guy all around. Sounds great at the commentary table. He's very intelligent,
very articulate. Not much of a. You can't find a better guy than Joe to do commentary or to speak for you at a Hall of Fame. I'm telling you, the kid came up with some crazy ass words that I didn't even understand, but he made me look really good.
Right. Yeah. What's this mean again?
I need an encyclopedia.
Oh, that's good, Kurt. Well, listen,
I'm a simple man.
Hey, I get it. Let's talk about things that help keep us in shape now. Let's talk about physicallyfit.com. Let's talk about those chicken snacks. They seem to be flying off the shelves. Tell us about them, Kurt.
Well, chicken snacks and Snack Smart crispy protein bites. One's chicken protein, one's plant protein, organic plant protein. We have 11 different flavors. They're all incredible. They're engineered into a Chex Mix type of texture, and we flavored them. Sweet barbecue, sour cream and onion, sriracha, cinnamon swirl. We got 11 different flavors. They're really good. We have gotten nothing but 4- and 5-star reviews on these. And I want to thank everybody that's been purchasing these. I really do appreciate you helping my business.
There you go. And Angle Pod for 20% off. They got the buffalo wing flavor. They're so good. I thought, is this going to be like a cracker? But you can taste the chicken flavor to those. And they're delicious, well-flavored. Can't recommend them enough. We here at the Bromwell home can't get enough of our chicken snacks. And when we can't get enough of also is that Kurt Angle brand. And if you check him out at KurtAngleBrand.com, he's got a little bit of everything, especially if you're planning for that Kurt Angle fan in your life for the Christmas season. Tell them what they can do over at the Kurt Angle brand.
Okay, we got many things going on at the KurtAngleBrand.com. We have t-shirts, we have birthday cards, we have cowboy hats, milk cartons, photographs, autographed photographs, whatever you want. And also, if you want to, if you have an item at home that is not signed and is maybe a picture of you and me, send it to the address on my website on KurtAngleBrand.com. And I will personalize it. And as long as you send me a prepaid postage envelope and a small donation, I will sign it and send it back to you.
Listen, guys, and even if you don't have a picture with you and Kurt Angle, if you pull out a piece of printer paper or some cardboard, if you send that to Kurt and say, I want your autograph, Kurt, can you sign this for me? Kurt's going to sign it. Maybe it's a magazine. I don't know. It doesn't have to be, well, I don't have a Kurt Angle 8x10. That's okay. Find something that you would love to have that man's initials or signature on with a little custom message, and Kurt's going to do his best to autograph that. Isn't that right, Kurt?
You're exactly right, Paul. I will do my best to autograph the message for you.
Whatever you send him, he'll do a cameo message. Listen, who doesn't want something on your phone that you can take and show all your friends? You know, from Kurt Angle. I mean, so
yeah, I got the cameo video messages. We got a lot of shit going on at KurtAngleBrand.com.
That's where all the shit is, kids. So find it out there, KurtAngleBrand.com. Listen, there's one more thing, Kurt, we got to talk about because I'm a belt
nerd. Yes, we do.
I'm a belt nerd, and Wildcat Championship Belts has created a Kurt Angle American Hero limited series. I'm talking five championship belts. This is the first and only series that they're doing, and it's going to be autographed by you, includes a display stand. It'll have a stamped serial number, a certificate of authenticity. But this, if you're a Kurt Angle fan, this is the championship belt that you need. Isn't that right, Kurt?
Oh, it's a gorgeous belt. It's beautiful. I mean, it's one of the best belts I've ever seen. Wildcat Belts did an incredible job at structuring this and putting it together. I was so happy with it. I actually had them make me one. I paid for one myself. So they're actually going to be six, but nice. Mine's going to have different leather, a different color leather.
Oh, good.
We're only going to have five of the ones made. They're authentic and no other belt will look like it. This is there are only five of the same belt and that's it. And you'll see your number 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 on the authenticity paper. So it'll be on the belt as well. But you go to wildcatbelts.com to order that belt. And it's a little pricey, but, so
Christmas are all is coming.
Real titles like that. It actually isn't that expensive when you can think about what it is.
So, yeah, the work and craftsmanship that goes in it. The guy who's doing this, Andrew, he's the same guy that makes all the belts for the WWE. So he does their WWE belts. So these are it's going to be absolutely beautiful on real leather plates. And I mean, it's got the Kurt Angle colors all throughout. I can't tell you about it enough. Go to @WildcatBelts on Facebook and Instagram to check out the photos. Or, as Kurt said, you can go to wildcatbelts.com and look at the Kurt Angle belt there and contact Andrew through his website, man. I'm telling you, get in while you can. It's going to be well worth it, and it's going to be a unique collectible that only you and four others and Kurt will have on your shelf. So, man, that's an awesome opportunity.
It is an awesome opportunity. I'm very happy about that.
Well, listen, if you're a fan of Kurt's podcast, which you have to be, you just listened to us talk about Bound for Glory 2011. And if you're a fan of wrestling nostalgia in general or looking to connect with other wrestling fans like yourself, adfreeshows.com is the place for you. Get all 7 podcasts early, ad-free, on video for as low as $9 a month. That's just 30 cents an episode. And if you're looking for even more, we've got tons of exclusive bonus content, as well as live experiences with your favorite stars of the past and present. And you're not going to find it anywhere else. Ad-Free Shows is the community if you're a wrestling fan. So sign up at adfreeshows.com. And when I talk about bonus items, Kurt, we just recently recorded a bonus episode of the top 10 all-time talent that you never stepped in the ring with. And some of the names may surprise you. We did a contest at Ad Free Shows and had folks try to see who could get as close to Kurt's list as Kurt. And they won some cool Kurt Angle swag and got a shout out on the show. So lots of fun over at Ad Free Shows, right, Kurt?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We had a lot of fans almost pick my top 10 dream list.
It was close, man.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I was surprised.
We had a blast, and we do shows every month. Kurt hears from me, and we'll either do a bonus or Kurt will join us for a live Zoom and answer questions. And so that's where you're really going to find the fun interactive part of what we're doing here and really get to know Kurt and some of the other hosts that work with Conrad. So check it out, adfreeshows.com. Listen, Kurt, I had fun today covering this show. Anything else before we close it down for this episode?
No, I just want to thank everybody for listening to my podcast. I really do appreciate it. Love you guys.
All right. Appreciate you, Kurt. On behalf of Kurt Angle, this is Paul Bromwell. We'll see you next week right here on The Kurt Angle Show.
All right. You know what time it is. It's time to talk about our bud, Steven Singer. Now, not everybody knows this, but Steven actually started out as a jewelry and diamond wholesaler. That's right. Singer sold nationally to other jewelry stores. So why in the world would Steven open his own store? Well, he saw that other jewelers were focusing on the wrong things. You see, the jewelry business has always been about playing pricing games just to make a buck. But Steven wanted to help people celebrate love with diamonds. He never wanted to be in the jewelry business. You heard right. He's in the love business. Steven Singer Jewelers is the love store. No, not that kind. No sex toys or jelly. We're talking about the place to buy real diamond jewelry for your real love. Steven has been in the love business for over 4 decades because he knew he could deliver better quality jewelry at a much better price and treat people like friends, not paychecks. There's no gotchas, no sales, no hassle, just easy and fun. The smartest way to buy jewelry and diamonds for the moments that matter most is real diamonds from a real jeweler you can trust. So call, chat, text, Zoom, visit his showroom, or online at IHateStevenSinger.com.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.